And 96.9 FM, live and local. This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
Our Newsmaker segment today is brought to you by Prairie Land Partners, John Deere, located 1 mile west of Emporia on West Highway 50, delivering the right solution.
Prairie Land Partners has a great lineup of John Deere compact utility tractors at all their locations across the state of Kansas. From the nimble 1-series subcompact tractor to the powerful 4-series, they have the right compact tractor available today to help you accomplish your next project. You owe it to yourself to come see the great selection of compact utility tractors at Prairie Land Partners and take one home today.
Delivering the right solution. Prairie Land Partners.
KVOE, we are live and we are local and we are happy that you're with us on this Monday morning, the 22nd of August, a beautiful start to the day, partly cloudy and 63 degrees, and we're pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker via the KVOE Sutherland studio line by Lyon County Extension Ag Agent Brian Reese. Brian, good morning, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How about you?
Doing all right. Well, you're coming off a stunning and stellar Beef Fest here over the past few days. Before we actually launch into our specific topic, what's your thoughts on how things went this past weekend?
Overall, I think things went very, very well, other than some moisture Friday evening, which I don't think many folks complained about. It changed the event a little bit, but other than that, then I think it was a beautiful weekend. And good turnout for all the events. Cattle performance wasn't quite what we had hoped it would be, but I think it's pretty much on par with what the season has been so far based on the conditions that we've had for the cattle and the grass.
Well, thanks to you and all the Beef Fest committee members, all the volunteers that put on a wonderful event celebrating the grass cattle industry. As Brian mentioned, looked like turnout numbers were really good. And, Brian, it was kind of good to get things back to normal, huh?
It was. It was good to see good crowds at all the events. I think the grandstands were actually pretty good. I didn't make it over to the ranch feed because of other responsibilities while everything was going on, but it sounded like the Boyer building where we held that was pretty well filled up. And, of course, the food is always good. So, yeah. That's always a good thing.
Yeah, and we had a great time with the hamburger feed Saturday afternoon, getting those 500-plus hamburgers grilled up and ready to go for everybody. So we totally enjoyed ourselves and glad to partner with the Beef Fest committee again.
We appreciate your help, Helen, on all that, the publicity, on the helping on Saturday morning. You know, it takes a large group of volunteers and special people to go ahead and put this thing on and pull it off like it does.
Well, we wanted to bring Brian in because there's a special fence law seminar which is going to be taking place tomorrow evening, and this will be live streamed online for those of you who can't make it up to Junction City. Brian, let's talk a little bit about, I guess, maybe the atmosphere around fence law at this particular point in time and really what's going to be taking place here tomorrow evening.
Well, fences, I think most folks have heard that good fences make good neighbors, and that's for a variety of reasons, but there are some things that have been written into the Kansas statutes on fencing that everybody doesn't always understand. There are some commonly accepted practices that most people assume, but that doesn't necessarily track with the statutes. And I know that Dr. Roger McCohen, who is with the Washburn University School of Law, he also has a support position with K-State Ag Econ. Roger was at K-State for a number of years, but Roger will probably bring up multiple times that the statutes refer to partition fences will be maintained in equal shares. And the commonly accepted way to look at that is that as you stand on your property and look at the fence between you and your neighbor, you maintain what's on your right. That's the half that is on your right. And that's pretty commonly accepted, but that isn't what the law says because, you know, my right half might have water gaps in it and a bunch of rough terrain, and Chuck's right half, that would be my left, might be look like a field in the Cottonwood River bottoms. I mean, just flat and smooth. So building a fence, maintaining a fence in either of those two positions is much different. And so those are some of the things that they'll talk about. Talk about some of the locations, buildings, and maintaining what is a legal fence that is set by your county commissioners locally. You know, highway fences. How do you handle disputes if there's a dispute on a fence, on a property line situation, or even on whether a fence is being or isn't being maintained appropriately? So there's a variety of topics that will be covered that are very valuable, especially for rural landowners.
Well, and I can see where this is an important topic, and, you know, we don't hear about this much, Brian, but I'll tell you what, you get out in the country and just for a moment take a look all around you and to try to add up all the miles of fencing, you know, that we have here in the Flint Hills area. It is really mind-boggling when you put that to paper, how many miles of fence we have.
There's miles and miles of fences, and it really hits home when you look at what the costs are for fencing materials at this point in time. Wire and posts, I haven't priced anything recently, fortunately, but I've heard that steel fence posts are in the $5 to $6 a piece range. Barbed wire over $100 a roll, and one roll will take a wire a quarter mile. So most of the fences anymore that are being built are five wire fences. So to go a quarter mile, that's $500 just for wire, round figures.
Yeah.
So, and then you think about some of the fences that got taken out by the wildfires out in central Kansas here a few years ago, and think about how many miles and how many tons of materials had to be taken out there just to go ahead and rebuild those so those operations could continue. And it's a large figure, and it's a pretty monumental task to go ahead and get those things rebuilt.
And on top of that, too, Brian, we're talking about something which, you know, as far as ag history in the United States and specifically, you know, the central and western thirds of the country are concerned, this could, you know, way back in the day, you're talking, you know, like the late 1800s, this was about as hot a topic as you could possibly deal with when it comes to specifically the ranching side of things.
The advent of barbed wire changed many, many things. And up until that point in time, it was pretty much a free-range, open-range type scenario. And you mostly had to have somebody move with the animals or move the animals if you had livestock. And all of a sudden, somebody came up with the idea to go ahead and put little pokey things on a string of wire. That cattle might go ahead and respect that. And, you know, that changed what you could call yours, you know, where you would be able to maintain animals, and really it changed property ownership considerably as well. So
fencing.
And when you start stringing wire, then you start running into problems with your neighbors that really didn't want wire at that point.
Well, and you look at this, it's really twofold then, isn't it, Brian? You know, the fencing is out there, you know, to obviously keep livestock penned in, so to speak, and also for property lines, correct?
They do serve a dual purpose, and, you know, it depends a little bit on the survey, but, you know, sometimes the corrections that were used have changed over the years, and so sometimes the property lines may not be everywhere that we actually think they are, but Roger will talk a little bit about that as well. I'm sure that over a period of time, if that fence is maintained on that area, then that is assumed to become the property line. So that's another one of those touchy questions that lawyers get involved with. So, you know, sort of have to walk carefully on some of those things.
Understood. Brian Reese, again, Lyon County Extension Ag Agent, joining us here today with the Kansas Fence Law Seminar coming up here 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. In person, this will be at the Geary County 4-H Senior Citizens Building in Junction City, but you can, I would assume here, get in on this online, especially if you can't make the trip to Junction City and still register here today, possibly tomorrow?
That is correct. That is correct. The registration information can be found at agmanager.info, or you can give me a shout out at the office locally here, 620-341-3220, and I can get that information to you to register as well. But or you can get a hold of Chuck Ottie, who is the extension agent in Geary County. Their number up there is 785-238-4161.
Easy enough.
Chuck has been an agent up there for many, many years. He will be retiring at the end of the month, so this is probably just about the last event that he will have as an extension agent. I'm sure that he will continue on. Chuck is very well respected as a bird, a very knowledgeable bird expert. Written a book or two on some of the birds, not only through the Flint Hills, but across the Midwest and the United States. So sometimes little sidelights take on a higher priority for people, yeah, too. So
good deal.
Interesting things.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, Brian, anything else that we need to know here about the fence law seminar coming up here tomorrow that you wanted to address we haven't touched base on?
I think that should do it. And again, like you said, it is in person at the 4-H Senior Citizens Building in Geary County up in Junction City. Many of us probably don't necessarily, although by the time you get to the northern reaches, if you're listening, coverage area, then there may be some folks that wouldn't mind a little drive up to Junction City. But other than that, it will be live streamed, and probably the easiest way to access that would be through agmanager.info, I-N-F-O. Or give me a shout at the office, and we'll go ahead and point you in the right direction as well.
And there is no fee.
No fee, but they do request that we have registrations, not only for the access for the online portion, but I think there will probably be some drinks, refreshments, whatever. And just have some numbers for that if you are going in person.
Outstanding. Well, Brian, thanks so much for joining us here today, giving us the insight on that, and hope you're able to recover from another stunning Bee Fest weekend.
I told Ron when he called, he asked how I was, and I said, you know, I'm tired. So,
understood.
Thanks for your honesty. Yeah, join the club.
Welcome to 2022.
Yes, so, indeed.
Anyway, thank you guys for everything you do for the community and for the Bee Fest, and we'll look forward to doing it again next year.
You bet, Brian. Sounds thanks. Like we appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, Lyon County Extension Ag Agent Brian Reese on our primetime newsmaker this morning. Chuck?
All right. If you'd like to be part of the newsmaker slots, that's 7:20 every weekday morning. The only one we have right now is Thursdays, and that one may well be spoken for before we get to lunchtime here today. So we're directing you to next week, which is wide open now. Give us a call at 620-342-1400 or email kvue@kvue.com. Big Brothers Big Sisters serving Lyon County Director Jackie Wellness is our newsmaker guest tomorrow morning. We're talking about upcoming activities, including a street dance coming next month.
Well, and next week's are going to be filling up fast. We'll have Kayla Mock on the 2nd to preview the First Friday Art Walk, but we've got a lot of previewing of big events happening next week.
Yes, we do.
A lot of stuff going on. So, KVOE Live and Local, our newsmaker this morning, brought to you by Prairie Land Partners John Deere. 1 mile west of Emporia on Highway 50, Prairie Land Partners John Deere, delivering the right solution. It is 7:33, sunshine, 64 degrees. Stay tuned. We'll check the weather next.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. Make sure your car is safe for the road before taking that late summer trip or heading back to school with a set of Yokohama tires. Choose from the Yokohama Geolander M.